Have you ever read a warning label on a piece of something that you bought that you kind of scratched your head and thought, well, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard? I bought a 42cc big weed eater. It's a brush cutter, weed eater for COVID anxiety. And when you turn this thing off, the blade keeps spinning. One of the things, as it said, is caution, do not stop blade with your hand. There's some others. What do you think the caution would be on this one? Custom does not enable flight or super strength. I will also tell you, a pillowcase around your younger brother will not either. What about this one? This one's a little harder. Never use a lit match or open flame to check the fuel level. What about this one? Caution may contain eggs. This one I like. It's a Dremel. You know what a Dremel is. Caution, this product is not intended for use as a dental drill. Takes all the fun out of life, doesn't it? Hey, Dee, come here. There was a man driving once in a narrow road. It's winding around hills and everything. And he was just having a wonderful day. And he was coming around a corner. And all of a sudden, this big Rolls Royce came around from the other side and nearly drove him off the road. And as she went by, she shouted, "Pig!" That wasn't very nice, was it? "Pig!" Well, being the good Christian man, he shouted back, "You fat old cow!" That's not very nice, is it? About the time he went around the corner and he ran into the biggest pig he could ever find. Sometimes there's warnings that we ignore, isn't there? But God gives us warnings in His Word, and we're tempted to ignore it. I hear stuff like, well, that may have been true when it was written, but not today. Folks, I want you to understand that Ecclesiastes 1:9 says that when it comes to the human heart, how we make decisions, how we respond, that there's nothing new under the sun. Man's heart has not changed. Yes, he's got iPhones. Yes, he's got computers, faster cars, and mostly don't break down on the side of the road. But in essence, the human heart is the same. Nothing has changed. Thus, God's warnings are every bit as true today as they were back then. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. Ouch! The most deceitful of all things, desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? That includes you. Now, some of you are sitting there going, well, I don't know if I like that. It's a warning. The human heart, that fleshly heart, the way we make decisions, that nature we were born with, is deceitfully wicked. That word deceitful means to grasp the heel or to trip. Or it's like crooked, like an uneven ground, once again, to stumble. And God says that fleshly, the way that you make decisions, when it's based upon the old nature, it is deceitful. You can't trust it. In Scripture, the heart is a place where decisions were made, where emotions would well up, where you act upon those emotions. You cannot fully trust your heart of flesh. Correct? I don't know about that, Randy. I'm pretty good at it. You can't. It's a warning label from God Almighty. If you say, well, I just think, or I feel, or it seems to me, you're using the heart of flesh and it's deceitful. You have to be careful with that. It's deceitful. Praise God, He gave us a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26, "And I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a responsive heart." A tender heart towards the presence of God in your life, that you could hear the Word of God, so you can heed the warnings and make those decisions by which God can truly bless your life. See, God has done so much for us, so very, very much, but we have to walk this life, and we are responsible for our own choices. As a born-again child of God, there's a higher standard that we are to live by. Romans tells us that each one of us is going to be given account for this life that God has blessed us with. Romans 14, 12 through 13, yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. Now, this is not a, oh, I hope I wind up in heaven or not hell. That's decided at that point. But God has invested in you this precious life, and that life is to bring praise and glory to God Almighty, and we will give an account for that. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble or fall. I was caught with this scripture again this week. I just can't seem to get away from it. 1 Timothy 1:9, cling, in my words, kind of like bark on a tree, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people, that people there would be some believers, some Christians, have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. I don't want shipwrecked faith. I don't want that. The word shipwreck means to cast ashore, to dash upon the rocks or banks, or to destroy. Shipwrecked faith. How do we get there? Do you care? How do we get there? By deliberately making decisions that violate God's word and will in your life. Deliberately means that we're doing that by a conscious choice. It causes a separation in the relationship between us and God Almighty. It is a series of steps away from the side of Jesus, each step getting greater, until you find your life shipwrecked, and it will not necessarily be obvious to you at the time. Did you catch that? You can become shipwrecked, and in your mind, you may think everything is fine, but God has given us warnings. We're going to see this in Peter's life. Stand with me, please, as we read Luke chapter 22, 54 through 62. Then seizing him, the him would be Jesus here, they led him away and took him to a house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, a servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. Where's Peter? He's sitting around the fire. Who's there? Probably some of the even guards that arrested Jesus. A servant girl, a lowly servant girl, sat near the fire. She looked at him closely and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about. That's a no way, baby. Leave me alone. I don't know anything about this guy. I just want to be, just leave me alone." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight. Would you say Peter's faith is shipwrecked at this point? Yeah, okay, it is. The Lord turned, looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Father, there are times we can confuse ourselves and, Lord, get our priorities wrong, and we will justify it, and we will shipwreck our faith. Find ourselves right where Peter is at. Lord, I want us to see this morning that it's possible for each one of us, but it is not hopeless. As you are the good father waiting for the prodigal son to come home. Now, Lord, may we heed your warnings this morning. May we check our lives. Am I on that path of a shipwrecked faith? And Father, may we make those decisions which allow us to stay close to the side of Jesus. And I praise you in your name. Amen. Be seated, please. Peter's had a rough day. I mean, a rough day. In Luke 22, verse 24, a dispute arose among them, that's the disciples, at which of them was considered the greatest. Now, Jesus is going to the cross, and these guys are arguing, who is the greatest disciple? Of all of these 12, who is going to be the greatest? And Peter, like the rest of them, said, it's me. I know it's me. Luke 22, 31 through 33. After this, Jesus said, Simon, Simon. Notice he did not say Peter, Peter. Simon was his birth name. Jesus renamed him Peter after his great declaration when he asked, who do people say I am? And then, who do you say I am? And Peter says, I know this, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he changed his name to Peter at that point. But here he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. Notice the all of you, not just Peter, all of you. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Not me, Jesus. All the rest of them will do it, but not me. I would never do that to you. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times that you even know me. Hear Jesus say to Peter, your heart is deceiving you. I'm telling you, I'm warning you. Your heart and your emotions and your desires are deceiving me. Be alert. Peter's first denial was to a lowly servant girl. It wasn't to a guard. It wasn't to anyone important. It was a lowly servant girl. And he lied to her. Lied to her and got progressively worse until he was actually calling curses down upon himself. If what I'm saying is not true, would God Almighty judge me? How does he get there? How does he get there? I want you to understand, each one of us can find ourselves there. Each one of us. When moments of stubbornness and sinfulness opens a highway to our deceitful heart, where we do not even see the sin nor the hurt. How did Peter get here? I think the first thing is he did not let Jesus be Jesus. Seems a simple statement, doesn't it? Peter didn't recognize this Jesus. This Jesus, he was not sure who he was. He thought he knew him. See, always before, Jesus would be threatened and with death or pushing over a cliff, and he'd just walk right through him because it wasn't his time. He'd seen him do that several times. He could walk on water, calm storms with his words. He could raise a body that was dead. He could still a crowd and oppressors with just his look and his voice. And Jesus thought he understood, or Peter thought he understood Jesus completely. Completely. This Jesus has given up. This Jesus is not even fighting. This Jesus would not even accept me fighting for him. I don't know him. Don't know him. Peter tried to defend Jesus. Luke 44, 49 to 51. When Jesus' followers saw that what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them, that would be Peter, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. How do you arrest a man who's just put an ear back? That I cannot understand. But Peter tried, and Jesus didn't accept it. Now he finds himself not shipwrecked, but he's not going very far. So there'll be times in your life where God will not respond as you think he should. And you will wonder if you really even knew him. Where is he? I was taught this and it's not happening. His word says this, but I'm trying as best I can, but it doesn't seem to be true in my life. You have to understand Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than you, your ways, and my thought than yours. What God is saying is the depth of my thought is so vastly greater than yours, and how I respond is far grander and higher. It's so much you can't even grasp it ahead of time. God is saying, let me be God. Let me be God of everything in your life. You will not understand it at times. It will seem foreign to you at times. But let me be God. Even though Jesus had told them he was going to the cross and what would happen, that was not what they wanted. And as a result, they didn't even hear it. They didn't even listen to it. It didn't make any sense to them. And they started to slide away from Jesus. But folks, you got to let Jesus be Jesus in your life. You got to let Jesus be Jesus. And you hold on loosely to everything that is earthly. Everything. And hold tightly to the person of Jesus. Corrie ten Boom, in a Nazi concentration camp, watching her sister die, knowing that her mother and father had died there as well, she said, hold on loosely to things of this life. Then it doesn't hurt so much when God grabs them from, takes them from you. You will not understand, but let him be God. If not, we will become disappointed with Jesus. Disappointed. He didn't do what I thought. The thing about disappointment, if it's left unchecked, it has a drawing away effect in our relationship with Jesus. Disappointment doesn't bring us closer. It sends a drawing, kind of like a sponge. You take a sponge into water, it just soaks that water right on up. And that's what disappointment does. It takes us away, if we're not careful, from the side of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't really matter what the disappointment is. If God didn't respond as you think that he should, then disappointment comes. And if it's deep enough or dark enough, it will draw us away from the person of Jesus Christ. It will draw you away. 1 Kings chapter 1, 19, Elijah, what a life this man had. He was a prophet, and God had told him to speak and not rain anymore, and he did. It did not rain. And Ahab and Jezebel was looking for him, and God hid him. Didn't rain for three and a half years. Then God says, I'm going to make it rain, but before this, I'm going to prove who I am. You go up on the mount, and we're going to have a contest with the Baal worshipers. They went up there for a day, what was going to happen is we'll both build an altar. We'll both put a sacrifice on there, and whoever God takes it, that's the true God. And the Baal worshipers, I mean, all day they were cutting themselves trying to get their God's attention, and nothing happened. And Elijah said, put water on this sacrifice. It watered so much that it was flowing everywhere. And in the words of Randy, he said something like this, okay, do it, God. God brought down lightning and fire and took up the sacrifice, and Elijah killed all the prophets of Baal. Man, what? He ran down ahead of the chariots because there was a cloud coming. It was magnificent. God had proven himself beyond anything else, but he became disappointed. Now, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent message to Elijah and said, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. What happened? What happened? He expected the nation of Israel to turn to God alone. He expected God to deal with Ahab and Queen Jezebel, and neither of them happened. And he felt alone. In fact, after he'd ran for about 40 days, he said, God, this is what's happened. You didn't take care of it. And I'm the only one here in the entire world that knows and speaks of you. And God says, no, you're not. I got over 2,000 that haven't kneeled to them yet. But he became disappointed. We find that here in Peter's life. Verse 54 and 55, we see that Peter followed at a distance, and he sat down with them, the them being non-believers. It may have been some that even arrested Jesus. But he followed at a distance. A simple servant girl declared that Peter was with Jesus. That's all she said. I've seen him with him. Disappointment will lead to fear if you do not let Jesus be Jesus in your life. And Peter became afraid. They saw what they were doing to Jesus. And in his mind, I'm next. And I don't know that guy, and I don't want to go through this. Woman, I don't know him. Now, a little bit of truth here. It could have been, woman, I don't know that Jesus. My Jesus wouldn't do that. I don't know who that person is up there. I don't know what's happened to him. I don't know him. And now we come to the word justification. I'm justified in thinking like this because he's not acting like I think he should. He's a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and look how they're treating him, and it's not right. So I'm justified to say I don't know him. And folks, when we begin to slide away, we will justify the sin in our lives. And it will become easier. 58, somebody else said, you are one of them. Not that you've been with them, you're one of them. Man, I am not. It's not just with Jesus, but you're one of his followers. And this is a more strongly worded denial than the previous. So he's gone from, no, it's not me, to, I know nothing of this man. I'm not one of them. Certainly, this fellow was with him in the garden when arrested. For he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. In Matthew, at the same time, a curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know this man. May God curse me if I'm not telling the truth. How do you get there? Little at a time. Step at a time. And he found himself where he never thought he would be. Each decision moved him away a little bit of a time. Is Peter hopeless? No. Thank God for the roosters in our lives. I wonder, just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Verse 61, suddenly the Lord's word flashed through Peter's mind. Man, don't you wish he'd have thought of that before he started this trek? He did not listen to the warnings. I wonder if Peter would have ever recovered if it had not been for that rooster right then. He was down. He was beaten. He was confused. He had no idea what Jesus was going to do. I wonder if he would have just disappeared from the scripture. I can't do this anymore. He can be so disappointed, he's not even going to attempt anymore. I'm done because of the denials. Would he ever have returned to the side of Jesus with full trust? How can I trust this man if he's not doing what if he's not being the king? But God provided, out of his love, a rooster. Isn't that amazing? Not a prophet standing on a big stone going, hey, Peter, you've messed up royally. It's time to go. Nah, just a rooster crowed. See, Jesus loved Peter, but he knew that the old Simon had to be removed so the new Peter could emerge. And sometimes our roosters are circumstances that we live in our lives that stop us. The circumstances come so deep and so hard that we finally say, I've had enough. I don't want any more of this. I want Jesus in my life. Sometimes it's the love of a brother or sister in Christ who will confront us. And sometimes it's the Holy Spirit that grabs our heart and seems to kind of rip it out. That's God's love. That's his rooster in your life going, beware. 61, at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter in the Greek, and Peter looked at Jesus. This stopped Peter in his tracks and forced him to see himself clearly. Whoa! How'd I get here? How did I go from I will die for you to I don't even know you? And calling a curse down from God if I'm not telling the truth. And God, I'd really appreciate if you would not listen to that prayer. I don't want you to do that. Not the braggart, but the denier. Not the most important disciple, but one not even worthy to be called a disciple. He didn't make any excuses at this point. He didn't justify his behavior. He now saw fully who Simon was. He's one totally dependent, not defendant, but dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't be who Jesus wants me to be without him. I always thought I'd be strong enough. I always thought that I would be able to stand against anything, but I now see I am hopeless without him. Did you notice there is one word Jesus never used against Peter? We use it, failure. He never called Peter a failure. Isn't that amazing? Did Peter fail him according to the structure that Peter had set? But Jesus didn't call him a failure. He knew what this would do in his life. He knew that Simon had to be set aside so Peter could arise in newness of life. Verse 62, he went outside and wept bitterly. Simon was left in the tears of repentance, and Peter arose. Tears of repentance. See, Peter could return. Now, here's the question. After doing this, how could you ever go back to the disciples? How could you ever be excited that Jesus rose again? How could you ever be excited if you know you've done that? There's some things that Peter... Verse 32, Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. What did Peter know? Peter could return because Jesus has already prayed for it. Folks, I don't know. Your life may be shipwrecked this morning. You may be on the path, and the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart this morning. But I want you to understand that your Heavenly Father has already prayed for you. He's already in the process of bringing you back. He's that prodigal son's father looking down the road going, he's going to come back someday. He's coming back. He's coming back, or I'm bringing him home. Peter could return because Jesus did not exclude him from the brothers. Did you see that? He didn't say, come back, and if you're good enough, I'll let you in our brotherhood. He didn't say that. You're still a brother. And when you come back, strengthen them. Now, Peter's going to have to say, I have to tell him what I had done. I don't really want to tell them what I've done because at this point it may be just me and Jesus knowing it. I'd rather just come back and, yes, Lord. Can you imagine that discussion? I denied him three times and yet he still loves me. Yet he still loves me. He could come back because Peter could return because Jesus said, when you come back, not if you come back. When you come back, Peter, strengthen your brothers. Upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, Peter began to rebuild his life, and God used him mightily. This is still available today when we find ourselves sliding from the side of Jesus. It's still available. This wasn't a one and done. You may find yourself going in a direction that does not bring praise and glory and honor to God Almighty. And he's telling you this morning, the way back for Peter is still available for you today. When sin and fears have a hold of us and our responses are anything but godly, there'll be tears of repentance left on the ground. And it will allow us to run back to the side of Jesus. There is no return without repentance. This is who I am. It's what I've done. And I turn from that and I choose to walk towards the side of Jesus Christ. He had already prayed for you. He has not excluded you from his kingdom. Even though his voice may be silent in your life, not excluded you. He is looking down the road for you. And the only reason, the only reason that I can say this is because of His amazing grace that exceeds all our understanding. Would you bow your heads, please? I don't know where you find yourself this morning. COVID has not been good for some people. It has made them, as one person said, sloppy when it comes to his relationship. Others have seemed to got closer, but that's because of their fear. Where do you find yourself this morning? This last week, has your life brought praise and glory and honor to God Almighty? Or when people look at it, it would be like Peter saying, "Nah, I don't really know who Jesus is." Well, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the return. And your Heavenly Father has open arms. Father, thank you for this word and this time. May we be honest with ourselves. May we not beat ourselves up, but may we be honest. Father, may you receive us just like you did Peter now. In your name, amen.